to KPFK's Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. My name is Damon Azali, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann. Today we will have Karen Bass, who's the former executive director of the Community Coalition, and she's going to be running for the 47th Assembly District for the California State Legislature. We're also going to have Ty Geltmaker, who is a former member of ACT UP, who will be talking about same-sex marriages and the national political scene. And finally, we'll be having Luis Sanchez, the executive director of Inner City Struggle, in their battle to get a new high school built in East Los Angeles. Karen Bass, are you on the phone?
I am. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. How are you too?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Great.
Just to say that we were trying to originally get a debate with Karen Bass and Nate Holden, but Nate Holden declined the invitation, so we have Karen here. First, I want to just talk about the boundaries, what the 47th district is, so people can get a sense of it. It's and Karen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the north boundary is somewhere around Wilshire.
Right.
On the east is Arlington, and then down on the south, it's kind of Florence.
Well, bordering Inglewood.
Bordering Inglewood, which includes Hyde Park, Baldwin Hills, Fox Hills going up.
Yes.
And then it goes on the west, Sepulveda. You have in there West L.A., Palms, Culver City, Westwood.
Yes, exactly.
So in this particular district, we'll see how it has two kind of sides of it. It's the kind of the whiter, richer side, and then there's the, you know, kind of South L.A., more black, more working class. Just to, not to make any secret, we were doing some precinct walking down in Hyde Park, actually, and we were talking to some black community members knocking on the door, and was talking, saying, you know, they were basically saying that as far as candidates coming down, that the candidates only really come when they want to get elected and want to get voted in. And once that happens, they don't really kind of pay attention to the needs, in particular the black community. And so what I wanted to kind of start with, Karen, is in particular, what demands are you kind of putting out there in terms of black community-specific needs and trying to get resources and attention to a community that is a lot of times courted for their vote but then doesn't really get the kind of benefits of that?
Well, first of all, let me just talk a little bit about the demographics of the district, because I think one of the things that's interesting about the 47th is that it really is diverse. I mean, in a way, you know, I think you gave a description of it, it's unusual to carve out boundaries in Los Angeles that is overwhelmingly African-American and white. There is a Latino and an Asian population, but the numbers aren't as big as they are in other parts of the city. But given that, even the diversity within the white and the African-American population or the black population is large. So, for example, there's a large Ethiopian community, Belizean community, Russian community, et cetera. So people are coming from a lot of different parts of the world. I think one of the things that's different about me than typical candidates in regards to the comment that the neighborhood residents made is that I am an activist. I've been in the community. This is what I've been doing, as I describe it. It's what defines my life work, is working with communities, trying to improve the quality of life, getting neighbors involved in solving the problems. And so me becoming now a candidate and running for office does not mean that I change and I'm no longer an activist. So one of the things that I really look forward to doing is being in elected office, being in the assembly, but maintaining and even expanding my ties with communities and using the opportunity of elected office to educate the public about state issues and issues that really impact all of us on a daily basis, but we don't necessarily relate to decisions in Sacramento.
Well, in terms of that, hi, Karen, it's Eric Mann.
Hey, Eric.
One of the things that's happening now, you know, is that Arnold Schwarzenegger, in terms of trying to get out of the budget crisis that we think was created by oil speculation and energy speculation by Gray Davis, among other things, is proposing a $15 billion bond issue which in my view is still going to end up being a tax in the sense that after the $15 billion, that's going to have to be paid back with interest. And if the state doesn't have enough revenue, there'll be more cutting of services. How do you stand on the $15 billion budget item, which Dianne Feinstein supports, and how serious is it to propose an alternative of cutting the prison system dramatically as a ethical issue first, but secondarily as an alternate, more progressive way of reducing state expenditures?
Well, you know, I think if there was a possibility, and I don't believe that there is, which is why I'm framing it this way, if there was a possibility of going about addressing the immediate budget crisis in another way, because I actually think there's a variety of ways that we could solve it, such as closing loopholes that corporations get, you know, taxing alcohol, taxing tobacco, taxing the most wealthy in our state. I believe that all of those are things that could and should be done, and I absolutely believe we need to revamp the prison system in the state of California. My concern, however, is that I don't think there is any way that any of that is going to happen anytime soon. I think those are more protracted struggles, but absolutely struggles that should take place. And so I do support the bond because I am deathly concerned about the draconian cuts that would come until we can create the political will in Sacramento to deal with some of the more structural issues like the prison system. I don't want to see the cuts that would take place in the meantime.
Okay, David?
So, Karen, during your campaign, from what I understand, the kind of two major kind of front runners that you're going against are Nate Holden, who's been in politics for quite a while, and also Ricky Ivey. And so I wanted to ask you on the kind of campaign, what are some of the political differences that have come out, and why should people support you, your candidacy?
Well, I would also mention the other two candidates because it's actually four men that are running in the race, two African-American, two white. The two white men are professors, both from Cal State Fullerton, Richard Groper and David Cooper. In terms of Ricky Ivey, though, and Nate Holden, I think what is different about me is, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, my life's work has been a community activist. I've been anchored by values of social and economic justice. That's what I use as a guide for how I get involved and stands I take on particular issues. And that has been my primary focus. Now, having said that, I've had a variety of jobs in my life, a variety of careers, and prior to founding the Community Coalition 13 years ago, my activism was on a voluntary level. I worked full-time as a member of the faculty at USC in the Physician Assistant Program, the School of Medicine, and I also worked in county emergency rooms. So I think what is different about me is that I have a breadth of experience, one from the working world side, and two from the activism. Ricky Ivey is an attorney who has built what I know of to be a very reputable law firm in the city of Los Angeles, and Nate Holden has been an elected official. So I think that's what divides me from the other candidates.
But that's in terms of background, Karen. What about the issues? I mean, there must be some debates when you're having debates besides your better roots in the community. On just a principled level, are there differences on the issues between you and any of the candidates you want to take?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good question, Eric. I don't think that there's lots of major differences, but let me reference a forum or debate that we had last week. And I can tell you that some of the differences that came up weren't necessarily with Ricky, Nate, or myself, but with a couple of the other candidates who described the need or acceptability of a two-tier educational system, an educational system, one that would prepare people for the professions, and an education system for people who weren't interested or suited for the professions, and I certainly took issue at that because that's code words to me for one side of the district versus the other, and then how you make an assumption that a 15-year-old is or isn't, you know, suited to be a professional, I always have major problems with. So I would cite that as a difference. I think there is a difference in terms of commitments to certain social programs, and I think when it comes to education, there might be some differences. But I really think if you hear us, if you hear us, I think that a lot of the positions sound similar.
Hmm. Well, I don't think you'll have the same positions on Cuba. I know, Karen, you've been a long-standing activist in support of the right of self-determination of the Cuban people, and that. You know, we're living at a time now where, not just in Iraq, but in terms of the so-called axis of good in Latin America being initiated by Lula in Brazil, people in Venezuela and Argentina and Cuba are trying, you know, within the UN, within international fora, to get the United States to basically allow them to breathe, just to stop the military and economic intervention of U.S. corporations. Now, state assembly person is not an inherently internationalist position, but I know when Maxine Waters was early in the assembly, she did become a spokesperson on, certainly on the struggle against apartheid, for instance, in a very outspoken way. So, two issues. This one is, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background in terms of your connection to the Cuban people, and the second one is, do you think that this will be used against you in a left-baiting way by any of the other candidates on something that I think you should be very proud of?
Well, I feel the same way as you, Eric. I have always been interested in foreign policy, and I love the world, basically. And what's going on in other countries, I think oftentimes is very difficult for somebody on La Cienega Boulevard to see the connection between what is happening here and what's happening in another part of the world. But I do believe they are absolutely connected. I'm sure I will look for opportunities to promote internationalism, because I think that it's so important, especially at this point in time when we are in the middle of a war in Iraq, when $80 billion is being proposed to rebuild the country we just finished blowing up, and when we wonder about why we have budget problems on a state level, you have to begin that discussion looking at Washington. And if you're going to look at Washington, you have to look at the rest of the world, because that's the way where our resources are going to. When I think of Venezuela, when I think of Brazil, what comes to mind is Chile in 1973, September 11th prior to 2001, marked the anniversary of the overthrow of the Allende government and our government's role in that, which, you know, all the world knows, or I should say, United States has acknowledged somewhat. I think the world knew right after it happened. So I believe that looking at what is happening in the world, whether you view it from an economic point of view, a political point of view, is absolutely critical. So I have traveled to Cuba. I traveled to Cuba on several different occasions for a variety of different reasons. I've gone for educational purposes. I also took a year or so ago, I took a team of they were actually psychologists from the National Football League that did consulting work with the National Football League, because the Cubans were very concerned that they were developing a drug problem. And so I brought a delegation of drug treatment experts to Havana so that they could see how drug treatment was done in Cuba, and they could share their experiences with what the Cubans view as a much more advanced state of drug treatment. So I think it's important for there to be relationships and dialogues with all countries around the world.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, both myself, Eric Mann, and Damon Azzali do endorse Karen and are working on our campaign. And I think if Nate was on the show or any of the candidates, I think they would know both that we didn't give Karen an easy interview, and we would have been very willing to give them a very fair one, because we still want ultimately for people to make their own choices. But having said that, if you do want to make, I mean, I would just make, you know, I'm allowed to make one editorial comment that I think Karen's campaign is not simply in the 47th district, that I think it's a citywide, countywide campaign, and in some ways a national campaign, if you heard the last remarks that she made. And my understanding is you're not opposed to support from people outside your district. Is that correct?
Right. Absolutely. So, absolutely. And I definitely appreciate your endorsements.
Could you talk about how people can reach you, Karen, if they're interested in working on your campaign or just finding out more about your platform? And tell us, maybe the election's March 2nd. Is that correct?
Right.
So why don't you
is.
Tell them, as we're getting closer, what could be done? You have about 2 minutes.
Okay, sure. People can certainly call the Bass for Assembly campaign headquarters, which is 323-932-9512. People can go to the website, www.karenbass.org. We have precinct walking every Saturday, and we would love for people to participate. You could arrive at the headquarters, which is the northeast corner of La Cienega and Jefferson, at 9 a.m., and come with your tennis shoes and be prepared to walk. I think we really have a good time when we go out and knock on doors and talk to neighbors. That's the best part about campaigning. Campaigns always need money. People could always write a check to Bass for Assembly. And again, you can call us at 323-932-9512.
Right. Thank you, Karen Bass, for joining us. This is 90.7 KPFK in Los Angeles, 98.7 KPFK in Santa Barbara. And we'll be right back with our next guest, Ty, who is going to be talking about same-sex marriages.
This love is never going to